And we will read James chapter 1 through verse 12. This morning, James chapter 1, 1 through 12. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Amen.
Good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. Proverbs 1. And let's read the first 19 verses together. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Let's pray. Father, as we begin to embark on this journey through the book of Proverbs, we want to at the outset recognize that we are in desperate need of wisdom. We are in desperate need of knowing how to live in a way that pleases you. Because there are false messages and false ideas all around us that would tempt us to think that true profit and true gain is by some other means than righteousness and justice and equity. And so what we need, Lord, is the skill to see life through the lens of the fear of the Lord for what it really is, and live and walk in obedience to you. So help us this morning to set aside the things that would distract us and focus wholly on our task this morning of hearing from your word so that we might live in obedience to it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we began last week our series in the book of Proverbs, and particularly we began by looking at the man behind the book, Solomon himself. We saw his rise to power, we saw his fall, and we saw then his final instructions at the end of his life from the book of Ecclesiastes, which for our small group discussion will be the point of discussion tonight. But now we are walking into the introductory verses of the book of Proverbs. But before getting there, we want to notice a few things about this particular book of the Bible. First, what we want to notice is that Proverbs fits within a larger genre of biblical literature known as wisdom literature. Wisdom literature is, in the Old Testament, most commonly known for being Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Sometimes Song of Songs is fit within this, and we recognize that some of the Psalms are wisdom Psalms, but primarily the books of Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes are known as wisdom literature. And they're known as wisdom literature because what they do is they impart to the reader the ability to see life for what it really is and then live out that life in the fear of the Lord. In other words, they're imparting wisdom for real living for you and for me. The second thing we want to notice is that then Proverbs is a specific type of wisdom literature. My Old Testament professor in seminary gave a lengthy definition for what a proverb is. I'm going to read that to you and we'll unpack it a little bit, but I think it's helpful for us. He says this: a biblical proverb is a concise, memorable saying, usually in poetic form, expressing a generally accepted observation about life as filtered through biblical revelation. I'll read that for you one more time, more quickly. A biblical proverb is a concise, unlike this definition, a concise, memorable saying, usually in poetic form, expressing a generally accepted observation about life as filtered through biblical revelation. Now, it's lengthy, but it's helpful, and let's sort of unpack it a little bit. First of all, proverbs are concise and memorable. They are concise and memorable. So you determine for yourselves, as I read this in one of my commentaries and I couldn't help but find it amusing, you determine for yourself which is the more concise way of saying something. Okay, here's the first option. A bit of perceptive and proactive forethought, followed up with appropriate and prompt action, will head off the need to spend a great deal more time and effort in regretfully remedying the situation down the road. Or, a stitch in time saves nine. Right? I think you see which one is the more concise. They are concise and they are also memorable. So Proverbs is memorable. Instead of telling your teenager in the morning, "Get out of bed, you lazy bum," you can say something more like, "As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard turn in his bed." It's a memorable, more concise saying. Proverbs are also, we see, they're simple, yet they are profound. In one small statement, all kinds of truth can be packed within. So Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." And packed in that simple truth is this idea that people have an accurate, or think they have an accurate assessment or self-evaluation of their actions, but what we understand is that the Lord has the truly accurate evaluation. Proverbs also, as we see from this definition, they express a generally accepted truth. So for example, Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is a generally accepted truth. Now sometimes, even in the godliest of homes, children do not always live in obedience or remain faithful to the way they were raised. But we recognize this as a general truth, a generally accepted statement of truth, that if you train up a child rightly, they will usually live rightly. And that's the point of a proverb. We also see that proverbs are then presented in poetic form. Now, we need to understand the difference between American poetry and, or I should say English poetry, and Hebrew poetry. When we think of poetry, we think of terms of rhyme, do we not? So roses are red, violets are blue, honey is sweet, and so are you. You know, you probably wrote that on a love note back in the third grade or something like that. What we like to do is we like to match words so that they rhyme. In Hebrew poetry, they don't match words so that they rhyme, but what they do is they match ideas. So you'll see line A and then line B, and line B will match the idea of line A. So for example, Proverbs 10:23, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. Line A. Line B now, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. So you see that line B is parallel in thought to line A, or it's related or it corresponds to the first line. Now we should note that not all of the book of Proverbs are these concise, poetic, proverbial statements. The first nine chapters seem to be more of discourses of wisdom, but then from chapter 10 and following, we get these more succinct, jam-packed, poetic line A, line B type statements. And some have said that wisdom literature can be divided into two categories, contemplative wisdom and practical wisdom. And it seems that the first nine chapters of Proverbs seem to be more contemplative of life and wisdom. And then as we move from chapter 10 and following, we have more practical wisdom in these poetic forms. Lastly, we notice about this definition is that it is filtered through biblical revelation. Okay, what do we mean by that? Well, I think we recognize that Proverbs in general are not unique to the Scriptures. We have Chinese Proverbs, we have other types of Proverbs, but not all of them are categorized as biblical Proverbs. So, for example, we might use expressions in our day like a picture is worth a thousand words, or a statement like absence makes the heart grow fonder for someone else. All right, and so we use these type of American or English proverbial statements, but a biblical proverb isn't simply imparting some sort of wisdom. It's imparting wisdom that is filtered through the biblical lens of Scripture. So that the author of Proverbs, he's considered all of biblical truth, and when he gives a proverbial statement, it is not just a wise saying, it is a wise saying that is consistent with and filtered through what God has told us in the rest of Scripture. So that's our definition and our understanding of what a proverb is. Now lastly, let us note then by way of introduction, what the book of Proverbs is really all about. I think Proverbs does something interesting and unique that most of the rest of Scripture does not do for us. For example, Proverbs gets immensely practical. Now, the rest of Scripture, they will teach us and will even be practical, okay? But other books of the Bible maybe give us big doctrinal truths about the supremacy of God and His attributes and His character. And other parts of Scripture give us biblical commands as to what we're to do. But Proverbs breaks down those biblical commands into more practical and explanatory statements. Okay, so for example, Jesus talked about in Matthew 22, love your neighbor as yourself. Proverbs maybe goes even deeper and more practical than that by telling us what it actually looks like to be a faithful friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. 21 verse 6. Proverbs 16 verse 28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. And so it takes this idea of relationships or friendships and it's more specifically applied in the book of Proverbs. Maybe another example. The New Testament tells us what type of person we should marry. Corinthians 7 says we should marry in the Lord. A believer should marry another believer. But when you get to the book of Proverbs, it gets even more specific about the type of individual you should marry. So for example, Proverbs 21 verse 9. It is better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. All right, so you don't just want a believing wife, you want a believing wife who is not quarrelsome, I think is what the scriptures say. I looked up that particular verse in the Message Bible, which I think is an absolute joke, but I knew they'd have a good translation for this one. Better to live in a tumble-down shack than share a mansion with a nagging wife, I thought was a lot of wisdom applied. But I think you get the point, right? It's not that the rest of scripture is not practical. It's that the Proverbs are immensely practical. And we might use this word to describe them. It is wisdom on the street. For everyday life, the Proverbs guide us. Now, with these thoughts in mind, we want to now step into the introduction of the book of Proverbs. And in my study, I studied verses 1 through 7. But we're only going to get through verses 1 through 6 this week because I wanted to devote the proper amount of attention to what is the theme verse of Proverbs, verses chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So, Lord willing, we'll come back to that next week. But this morning, we'll just look at the first 6 verses. Now, for those of you who like to read, you realize that it's not uncommon for you to pick up a book and to read some sort of introduction or prologue by the author to tell you this is what the book is about, or it's in this way that you'll find this book helpful or useful. And that's essentially what the prologue of Proverbs does. It tells us, Solomon tells us, in what ways we will find the book of Proverbs helpful for us. And this is what the first 6 verses tell us. In fact, what we see is that there are really, let me back up to say, in the purpose of Proverbs, we see identified for us in these first 6 verses, 5 ways in which we find the book of Proverbs helpful. Now you'll notice that there's a word repeated in these first 6 verses that's repeated 5 times, and it is the word to. Or if you have a Christian Standard Bible or an NIV, you will see the word for. Okay, so notice how these play out in the text. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Here's our first one. To know wisdom and instruction. Or we might say, in order to know wisdom and instruction. Line 2 of verse 2 says, to understand words of insight, or for understanding words of insight. The third one is mentioned in verse 3, the purpose of Proverbs, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Fourthly, in verse 4, we see to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And then the last purpose of Proverbs we see picked up in verse 6 again is to understand a proverb, or in order to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so what we have up front is Solomon telling us the purpose of this book is here for you listed in these first 6 verses. So what we want to notice then is the 5 benefits of studying the book of Proverbs. And we pick this up in these purpose statements. First of all, benefit number 1 is to know wisdom and instruction. That's right up front for us in verse 2. That the first benefit of studying the book of Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction. Now when we speak of the word know in Scripture, we are not speaking of mere head knowledge or academic learning. Rather, we are speaking of being intimately acquainted with something or someone. So, for example, as you look through the rest of Scripture, you can see this in the word, in the way that the word know is used. So take Psalm 1, for example. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, it's not that the Lord doesn't know the way of the wicked. It's that he knows in a relationship sense those who are righteous. Or at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord will say, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I never knew you. Well, it's not that he didn't know who they were. He didn't know them in a relational sense. And that's the way that the word know is used in Scripture. One commentator illustrates it like this. It's possible that you could have a 600-pound doctor who is an expert on diet and weight loss. And there's a sense in which he knows about diet and weight loss, but he's not intimately acquainted with the details of diet and weight loss. And the point of Proverbs is that we would be intimately acquainted with wisdom and instruction. Now notice first of all then this word wisdom. It's an interesting word, and it's very, very basic meaning. It's the Hebrew word chokmah, and in its very basic meaning, it means skill. Now what's interesting about this word is sometimes it's translated as skill, and sometimes it's translated as wisdom. And it's used in a lot of places in context of Scripture that has nothing to do with wisdom, and only that which relates to skill. So for example, in the Scriptures you'll read that about maybe a sailor who has chokmah or skill at sailing a ship. Or you'll read of a craftsman who has great skill in woodworking. Okay, so that's the same word for wisdom. And we can actually kind of take that word skill and translate it into this proverbial idea of wisdom. Proverbs, it talks about wisdom, but wisdom is skill for living in the fear of the Lord. And we're going to come back to that definition all throughout Proverbs as we study this topic of wisdom. But that definition is perhaps most helpful. Wisdom is skill for living in the fear of the Lord. The wise person is skilled, but they're not just skilled generally. They're skilled specifically in knowing how to live in the fear of the Lord. Now, one of the challenges when studying Proverbs and Scripture in general is that there are often words that we use in our English language that are put in the Bible but that are used differently in the Bible. And wisdom is one of those words. In our modern day, the idea of wisdom carries the idea of the intellectual knowledge, of maybe academic intelligence, or refers to the ability to give pithy statements. So we've all referred to someone as a wise guy, right? But in the Scriptures, wisdom is not so much intellectual in nature, but wisdom is moral in nature. It has to do with knowing and living in the fear of the Lord. Now, let me illustrate this for you in two places. Keep your finger in Proverbs 1 and turn over to Matthew chapter 7. The end of Matthew 7, verses 24 through verse 27. You'll remember this passage because you sang the song growing up about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And you know the tune and you can sing it at lunch if you desire. But pick up in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat in the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand and it fell. So you see then that wisdom is not having to do with intellectual knowledge or academic ability, but wisdom has to do with hearing the words or knowing the words of Scripture and doing them. So wisdom is moral in nature, and the foolish person is not the one who lacks intellectual ability, the foolish person who hears the words but does not do them. Keep your fingers still in Proverbs 1 and turn over to one other passage in James chapter 3. Look at this last section of James 3 in verse 13. James writes this and it begins with the question, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Now, if we just stopped there and we had never read the book of James, we would expect that it's the person with intellectual ability, the person who can give and speak wise decisions into life. But notice what James says. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So wisdom then has this moral element in Scripture that's not about intellectual ability, but it's about knowing and living and obedience in the fear of the Lord. So wisdom then is skill for living in the fear of the Lord. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 as we continue this first benefit of studying Proverbs. Okay, the first benefit, to know wisdom. And then we have one more word listed for us, to know wisdom and instruction. Now here in verse 2, if you see that word instruction, the word can be translated as instruction or teaching. But often in Proverbs, it's translated as discipline or admonition or correction. And those who study the book of Proverbs agree that the intended translation here is that of discipline. Now, it's easy to understand how the word instruction could also be translated as discipline, because the point of discipline is to give instruction. Now, when I was a child, I couldn't understand how the two were connected. I thought discipline was something that parents did when they were mad or you embarrassed them or humiliated them in public, and you received more severe discipline based on how humiliated they felt in a particular incident, okay? But now that I'm on the other side of the coin, I can clearly see how the purpose of discipline is for instruction, to warn and to admonish and to shape the character of our children. So Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him, because you want to bring your child up in a way that they can live as a normal citizen without, you know, running around doing all kinds of heinous activity. Okay? There's nothing more unloving than allowing your child to live however he or she wants to live. But notice verse 2, though. Discipline is, in verse 2, it's not for simply children. Discipline is for all of us who study the book of Proverbs. It's to know instruction and to know discipline. And the reason that we need discipline is because character comes so difficultly. It's not easy for you and for me to develop the character necessary to live in the fear of the Lord. Whether we're 2, whether we're 22, or whether we're 72, all of us need discipline. We need to be shaped and taught by the Scriptures. So that gives us then the first benefit of studying the book of Proverbs, to understand wisdom and instruction. Well, this brings us then secondly to benefit number 2, and it's also found in verse 2. To understand words of insight. Now, this second benefit of Proverbs is interesting because it begins with the word to understand. That word understand, if you were here last week, is actually the same word that Solomon used over in 1 Kings. When the Lord said, you can have whatever you want, Solomon. And what did Solomon choose? Well, his words are, he wanted to have an understanding mind, to discern between good and evil. And in Hebrew, that's what this word understand really is. It's the ability to discern and to separate between right and wrong. And this is what the purpose of Proverbs is. It's to make us understanding, or give us understanding, so that we're able to look at a situation, take the wise sayings of Scripture, and apply them to life's challenging and difficult situations so that we can live in a way that pleases the Lord. So, for example, many of us at various times might be tempted toward a crooked business deal. Now, I don't want to say that all of us here are just always looking to make a crooked business deal. But whether you're in work and the temptation comes up in the business world, or whether you're simply trying to sell a decoration on Facebook Marketplace, you have the temptation at least to hide the defect, or to not tell the person that if you turn it in a certain way, the arm of the individual falls off, okay? So you're tempted in this regard to maybe not deal incomplete honesty. But Proverbs gives you understanding, and you recognize, as Proverbs 10:2 says, that treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. That what Proverbs does, it has the ability to give us this understanding to discern between right and wrong. To give us the ability to live in a discerning way. Now, thirdly, we come to the third benefit, and that brings us then to verse 3. Notice what verse 3 says, is that Proverbs is given to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity. Okay, so the third benefit of Proverbs is to receive instruction in wise dealing. Now, what you notice about verse 3 is that for the very first time, it's made explicitly clear that Proverbs isn't just for right knowing, it's for right living. Because notice what the text says. It's to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. The purpose of Proverbs is to teach us how to live in a way that we live righteously, justly, and deal equitably with those around us. And Proverbs has a lot to say about living equitably and righteously and justly. So, for example, chapter 11, verse 1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Or Proverbs 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. And Proverbs gives us then this ability to live in wisdom, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Now, it's interesting. These aspects that are mentioned here, righteousness, justice, and equity, they're not being commanded. It's not a commandment that we live in these things. It's saying that these are the fruits of one who understands and receives the instruction of Proverbs. These are the abilities given when we know and understand the book of Proverbs. We live righteously, justly, and equitably. Now, this brings us then to the fourth benefit. Benefit number 4, we'll spend a little more time on this one than the last two. To give prudence to the simple. Look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Well, now Solomon has cued us in to the intended audience of his book. And that is the simple, or the youth. Now, before we go any further into the book of Proverbs, we need to make a helpful distinction, or a clarification, I should say. In Proverbs, when it talks about the simple, or the simple-minded, this person is different than the fool. The fool is the person who, according to verse 7, despises wisdom and instruction. And until the fool comes to the fear of the Lord, he cannot receive the instruction given in Proverbs. The simple, on the other hand, is not a fool because they're still teachable and willing to receive instruction. Now, they may be naive and gullible and immature, but ultimately they still have the potential to receive the wisdom offered. We see in Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe everything. They're gullible. Proverbs 27:12, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple, they go on and suffer for it. And we can understand this idea of the simple in greater detail when we see in verse 4, it's compared to the word youth, the simple or the youth. And the simple or the youth is in essence that they're immature or they lack the ability to think things all the way through. So, for example, this past Wednesday night, there were a group of seventh grade boys in the teen room who were playing essentially a form of tackle football while other teens were in the teen room. And nobody stood up and said, hey, you know, this probably isn't a really good idea. And none of them said, you know, this isn't the wisest of choices, right? Why? Because, well, it's what we expect from them. They're seventh grade boys. They don't have the ability yet to think things all the way through to the end. Now, lest I'm like too hard on the seventh grade boys, I'm reminded of my college days. And in the men's dorm, there's probably no better definition of the simple-minded or the youth not being able to think things all the way through. So one night, my roommate was a security guard, and he gave us the warning that there was going to be a fire drill at around midnight. Well, there was no purpose then in going to bed, and we had some spare time on our hands, and so we went out into the hall, down the hall to the very last door, and we decided to penny jam the room at the end of the hall. Now, penny jamming is it takes a couple people to do it, but you sit on the floor and you push as hard as you can with your legs the bottom of the door, so that it creates a space between the door and the door frame, and another person sticks number of pennies in there. So what it does is it creates so much pressure against the door handle that it creates a lock from the outside. Okay, so we penny jammed this one particular room. Well, midnight came and the fire drill alarm went off, and here we are, you know, fully ready for it, already have our coats and everything, and we yell down the hall, "Fire! Fire!" And we went down to that particular room and banged on the door, "Fire! Fire!" Right? And they couldn't get out because the door was locked. And so we eventually, you know, left them to the RA, and they couldn't get out. And I, you know, no one got hurt in the incident, but we didn't think things all the way through. Because here we are, we're on the second floor. And what if just one of them would have believed that there was actually a fire, couldn't get out, threw a window, threw a chair through the window, only to jump out, and it was only just a fire drill. Okay. This is what the simple do. They don't think, right? Yeah, you get it. They don't think the things all the way through. I mean, there was a lot of examples of things that happened like this. I won't make this story time, but we had one particular time where we had our garbage can. We filled it up with water, and you lean it against the door of the dorm room, and then you knock on the door, and you run away. When they open it, the water spills into their room. Fortunately for us, somehow we had the wrong trash can. Instead of 206 being written on the bottom, 208 was written on the bottom, which was like a really troublemaking room. And the RA and those guys, they went down to confront the guys in 208, while we in 206 just sat and watched all of that transpire. Nonetheless, that was just a side note. Okay, so Proverbs is written to people like that, okay, who don't have the ability to think things through all the way to the end. But they're not fools because, as Proverbs tells us, they are teachable. Proverbs 21:11 says, "When a scoffer is punished, the simple becomes wise." That is, there's hope for the simple and for the youth. When I was a youth pastor, I always would rather have the kid who loved to be there, even though he had tons of energy and was difficult to control, who was actually interested in the things of the Lord, than the person who was really well behaved, but just had no interest in the things of the Lord. One is simple and needs maturity and guidance in Scripture. The other is the fool and is hard-hearted toward the things of the Lord. And this is who Proverbs is written to: the simple, the immature, those who need instruction and wisdom. Now, what you'll notice is what they need in verse 4 is they need prudence. This is a really interesting word because outside of Proverbs, the word is used in a negative way. So, for example, Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more, and there's our word prudent, was more cunning than any other beast. Now, within Proverbs, the word cunning or prudent is used in a positive way, to refer to the fact that the prudent or the simple, they need the ability to reason and to live life out in the context of the fear of the Lord, to navigate the problems of life and to correctly consider the situation before them. And Proverbs gives prudence to the simple. It also gives knowledge and discretion to the youth. Simply put, it gives the ability needed to walk in the path in a constructive way, avoiding the lures of both evil and immaturity. And that's what Proverbs promises to these individuals. Now, lest we think the book of Proverbs is only for them, Solomon gives us a side note in verse 5. And notice what he says in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So hang on a second. Lest we think the book is just for the simple and the immature, there's also tremendous benefit of the book of Proverbs for those who are already walking in wisdom. I'm reminded of the classic movie, The Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Adam is the oldest of seven brothers, and they live in the backwoods, and he goes to town to find himself a wife. And in that afternoon that he's there, he finds himself a wife. He brings her home. They get married. He brings her home. But he doesn't tell him that his six other brothers live there as well. And things start off rather poorly, but over time, she starts to shape them into gentlemen. And it comes to a point in the movie where she's going to now teach them how to go courting and to find a lady. And she's telling them about how they need to learn some manners. And Adam laughs at her feeble attempts. And she says, well, it wouldn't hurt you to learn some manners as well. And he says this foolish, foolish statement. What do I need manners for? I already got me a wife. Now, we know the foolishness of such a statement. But it's that attitude that Solomon's writing verse 5 to confront. That a person would say, what do I need wisdom for? I've already been living this Christian life thing for years. I know what's going on. I know how to handle things. And Solomon says, let the wise increase in learning. In other words, we never come to a place in our spiritual life where we could just say, I've got this thing mastered. Listen to what Proverbs 19:27 says. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. In other words, you and I must always be in a position where we are receiving the instruction and the wisdom that God gives us. One author said this. He said, I seem to be able to teach virtually anyone except dead people, uninterested people, and people who think they know everything. We do not want to be in the category of those people, dead people, uninterested people, or people who think they know everything. So Proverbs remind us then helpfully in verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in their learning. Now, before we get to this last point, let's just stop here and ask, in which category do you fit? Well, of course, we all probably say, well, I fit in the wise category, right? Not so quickly. Some of us are simple. We need maturity. We don't have the ability in our Christian lives to think things all the way through and to look at the consequences of our decisions. We make decisions that are self-serving, self-pleasing, and self-indulgent at the time. And what we need is the ability that Proverbs gives to live in a wise way in the fear of the Lord. Maybe it's possible there are some here that are wise, but they're wise in their own eyes. They're not teachable. They don't receive instruction. They assume they've got it all mastered. Proverbs warns us of such a danger. Or maybe, as I assume, there are many, many godly individuals here who are attempting daily to walk in wisdom. Don't grow content in that walking in wisdom, but rather, as Proverbs warns us, increase in your learning. It's also possible that there are some here today who would fall under the category of fool. Now, we'll unpack this next week in more detail. The fool is not a person who lacks intellectual ability. Some of the brightest people in the world would be biblically categorized as fool. But the fool is the person who ignores, resists, and does not live in the fear of the Lord. And if that's you, where you think that this whole Christian thing is just a lack of credibility and some made-up story, the Scriptures call us this morning to repent of such an attitude and to turn our hearts to true wisdom. For all other paths, apart from the wisdom of Scripture, all other paths bring short-term pleasure and long-term death. So what we want is to walk in a way that pleases the Lord, intimately acquainted with the wisdom that Proverbs gives. Now let's look at our last reason, benefit number 5. This is going to severely disappoint you. To understand a proverb. Verse 6, we see, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Essentially, verse 6 is somewhat unclear, but it seems to be saying the Proverbs gives the ability to understand the various types of sayings that are contained in the book. Proverbs, sayings, words of the wise, and their riddles. And so Proverbs gives us the ability to understand these sayings and their meaning for life. Now, this is the purpose of Proverbs. Next week we'll come to the theme verse, but let's just stop here and notice something about these 6 verses. Okay? Here's what I notice about these 6 verses. As Proverbs gives us wisdom for life, here's what I notice. It actually matters as believers how we live. That is foreign to the book of Proverbs and foreign to Scripture is this concept of, well, I'm already saved. It really doesn't matter then how I live or what I do. But rather what we see in Proverbs is that we are to grow up into greater wisdom, living in a way that pleases the Lord, where we are intimately acquainted with wisdom, with discipline, with understanding, with receiving instruction, prudence, and discretion. We have great need to grow in our wisdom and in our walk with the Lord. And Proverbs gives us that needed wisdom. So Solomon essentially says, guys, here's what the book's for, so that we can grow up into greater wisdom and walk with the Lord. Let this be our path for life. Now next week, we will begin and spend our time in verse 7, which is really the door, the threshold of a wise life. We must start with the fear of the Lord and walk into greater wisdom. But we'll come to that, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray together.